Thank you. Okay, we're live now. We're back out of executive session. Make it clear, we went into executive session to discuss matters that might involve litigation. And so now we're in regular session. Are any questions now, the university, why we have them here? And I, folks have questions. Let's start going down the list. Okay. I'll just start. Capcon first. I just want to talk about some Capcon. First of all, let's talk about the pool. Okay, it's denied by the governor. Level 2 costs. Where are we at with that? $500,000 was requested for level 2, denied.
Governor's rec denied it. So.
And then what's kind of the estimate you think on the total cost of that? Is it, I've heard $20 million. Is that the number out there?
I think it's, Mr. Chairman, I think it is 20, 22, somewhere in there, 20, between 20 and 25 million.
You better hurry because I think it was 17 a couple of years ago, like $2 million a year. Mr. Chairman,
all joking aside, yeah. Mr. Chairman, that exact thing worries me about this STEM building, to be truthful with you, and also the engineering building, because, you know, the rest of the country's kind of coming back.
Okay, and just on that pool, is it a, just for our sake, we've seen some of it, I think, is it a 50-meter pool, is it a 25 by 25, anybody have any of that? I'm starting at the back of the Capcon, and I'm going to work forward. So,
Mr. Chairman, 50-meter, I believe.
That's what I thought.
That's Olympic regulation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any questions, anybody, on that? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, while we're talking about capital construction on the AA, you know, we did $5 million last year, and we thought that that would probably be what we would need, and now we found out another $5 million. Yeah, what I don't want to have happen is another $5 million. Yeah, tell me where we are, and will this cover it? And I do know that we're anticipating some matching money. The other part of that is out there. So give me we had that the other day, but just help my comfort level on there'll be no more appropriations for the AA.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that is the case. Again, my only hesitation is based on these escalating construction costs, but. Again, so that you know, and I know the two chairs know this fully, but two phases of construction. First phase begins right after, the final buzzer on last game in March. They're going to start tearing that thing up. Full disclosure, we're not in executive session, but this one's okay because it's already been through the Board of Trustees. You know, there were some initial estimates, just an example of what you can run into. There were some initial estimates, again, 30-year-old building. They thought they knew what they were up against for tearing that floor out and rebuilding it, and immediately found out when they actually got in, started doing a bunch of the soils testing, they're closer to bedrock than they thought in certain parts of that thing. So I think we already got the big surprise there, and I think it was about $1 million in extra costs, but they were able to jockey some other pieces of the project around and make it happen. And the athletic director, I know, has been leaning pretty heavy on donors to make sure that the state's share of this thing doesn't go up.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Talk to me a little bit about the classroom building. There was $8 million required, and the governor provided, I think, reduced it to $4 million, and we thought we could upgrade 25 to 30 classrooms. Just discuss this a little bit more with me. What are the consequences of if the 4 goes to 2 or if the 4 does not go to 8 in terms of the timing?
Mr. Co-Chair, I can observe or say firsthand that having taught in it for a few semesters that it was an excellent facility at its time, and the technology has been upgraded to some degree since then. But technology continues to move on, and the existing technology wears out. So I would argue that $8 million could be used if the number is four, which is what the governor has recommended, and which we will certainly take or would concur with. We can certainly use it. It's just a question of at what rate can you upgrade the classrooms.
Mr. Chairman, so most of it is for the technology side. The classroom themselves and the physical plant are in decent shape. So what you're talking about is just the technology to be able to, whatever you need to bring into the classroom that since it was built, I mean, I had attended classes there in 69, so it's been there a while. So that's what we're talking about, nothing to the physical plant, correct?
Go ahead. Okay. What about, I know we had a lot of questions on the long-range development and the water wells and the irrigation, but there was another, and we'll, Mr. Co-Chair, I think, will probably lead the questions on that. But I had a question about the King Street piece that was denied. I think it was $2.75 million, and that's right behind those high-rises, kind of that real busy where you got dumpsters and broken pavement and all that, kind of, where everybody kind of hangs out after they eat lunch.
Right, Mr. Chairman, do you have a specific question about?
I guess that's the part I'm talking about. Is that right? And what's the plan there? Is that going to go away as a street? Is it, what is it?
Really good, mall? Really excellent question, Mr. Chairman. again, this is one of those things. I think there's this desire to immediately kind of clean up that King Street, make it safer for pedestrians, you know, those kids coming back and forth from the dorms, pardon me, residence halls. And all that parking back there behind that part of it, Sorority Row, right? So all that parking back there, clean it up, make it better, get the infrastructure addressed and all of that. But when you look at the LRDP and you start talking to multiple people about those residence halls, then you get into this whole different discussion of a whole different magnitude and timing of, for instance, I think a lot of people don't really understand that all that money that's been poured into those residence halls of late didn't go in there and create suites. And I know you know this, Mr. Chairman, because you have kids that have gone through this system. But I think until I went over there to visit a relative of mine, and until we talked to Senator Nicholas just recently, I think there's a lot of misconception out there that these residence halls have actually been remodeled. And they haven't. They've been upgraded for life, health, safety issues, window replacements, sprinkler system installations, and that kind of thing. And so the whole issue of, and this kind of gets back to some of the discussions you've had with some of the coaches from over there. And it goes into this enrollment issue too. And that is, how does the campus continue to attract freshmen, sophomores, the entry level underclassmen? And part of that, a very important part of that, has become this residence life kind of issue, to the point where I think you're going to hear from a lot of coaches that they have difficulty recruiting kids to that campus because our residence halls are so far behind the time.
So you're saying maybe not do this King Street until you figure out the plan for the residence halls?
Between you and me, Steve, honestly, that's kind of where I would fall on this thing. And that, again, I guess I would hesitate. I've seen it happen in towns around the state so many times where you go in and you address a street issue and you build this really nice-looking street and get it all, you know, up to code and everything. And 2 weeks later, guys rolling down the street with a backhoe to tear it back up to get into sewer or electrical or whatever it is. And that's what I have envisioned on this King Street thing. If it's not taken as a comprehensive look of where do we want to go with those residence halls.
I read the narrative, though. It sounded like there were all the utilities were going to be replaced in there and upgraded. As I read, sewer and
correct, Mr. Chairman.
Water, storm drains,
yep.
All that stuff.
Yeah,
part of that.
But. It is, Mr. Chairman. It's all part of it. But and I asked some of my facilities guys about this. So if we go in there, you know, if we're able to get the money, go in there and fix all that. You're telling me that the heavy equipment and all that related to, if we do something with those residence halls, that's not going to tear that up. And they kind of look at each other and then look at me and say, no, we're going to have to tear it back up. And I think, why make that kind of investment? Let's figure out a longer-term plan, and then we'll decide that one.
Any other questions, says Representative Nichols?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, it seems to me that we're talking in terms of long-range planning that, you know, replace those dorms, it's a $100 million project. And so after we give money and more money and more money to UW, it's going to be hard to come up with $100 million in the future. Maybe instead of just saying no to anything, we ought to start opening a fund or take the money that's supposed to go in there or part of the classroom money and start a fund for the long-range planning that just set aside so that there's money there so that this is going to be a palpable, livable thing that we can actually swallow someday.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nicholas, you're right. It's a huge project, and I think what has held it up from, you know, it's a self-sustaining enterprise over there right now where students are paying in, and, you know, I think to reasonably try to fund a project of that magnitude, I don't know what kind of rent you'd be looking at, $2,000 a month or something, but you're right. It's a huge, long-term kind of issue.
Okay, so maybe we come back with a plan for that. We'll talk about that. Okay. Any other? Mr. Co-Chair and then Senator Iron.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Chris provided me with some information on the irrigation system. And without getting into the design of it, and it just looks to me like, you know, we're just kind of over-designed and over-building in that regard. And so I just have some concerns with that, and I'll do what I try to do with it, just so you're aware. I think there's some need there, but I just think it's a lot of money for irrigation system.
Hey, Senator Meyer, and then you can get both these.
Yeah. A couple of things. One, to the point that Representative Nicholas brought up as far as establishing a fund, I think the first thing you do is, you know, find out what you can actually charge in room rents, you know, do your comparators and find out what you can service as far as, you know, revenue bonds. And then when you have that number, then we can look at a number to augment that so you can get the projects done. But the question that I've been trying to get an answer for, and maybe the design has gone far enough that you could actually tell me, is on the arena auditorium, what's the capacity today and what's the capacity after all the remodel as far as seating capacity?
Mr. Chairman, anecdotally, Senator Meyer, I think on the AA capacity, it seems to me the discussion was they were going to lose a couple thousand seats, 2,000-3,000 seats out of the thing. Take it from 12, was it 15 down to 12?
Yeah. 15 to 11.5.
11.5.
A follow-up, Mr. Chairman. Sure. I'm not sure how the NIT picks their teams, but does any seating capacity come into that equation at all, postseason tournaments?
Mr. Chairman, I couldn't answer that question, but I can tell you that there was discussion about the size of other arenas in our conference and around the city. CSU, for example, and others are still going to be smaller capacity than ours. So.
After the remodel.
Yeah, after.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
Senator Bebout,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to comment on the irrigation piece or...
Mr. Chairman, I had another one on NCAR just to be sure. And as I look at it, we've got a 19-year commitment of $1 million a year for that, of which 75% goes towards a new computer. Are there any surprises? I mean, we get into technology in these kind of arenas, and it seems to me that all of a sudden there's something we need, some more kind of software, hardware. And is a contract written in a way that this is really what we anticipate and there will be no surprises, at least at this point?
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Bebout, I think not. I was involved when I was still working at the university then when we put this together. Our share is just a fraction of a contribution that UCAR, the parent organization, has a relationship with the National Science Foundation. So they have National Science Foundation budgets loaded and planned going forward. Again, you are subject to, it's not on our end, you are always subject to the federal government, but the long-term plan and the federal commitment has nothing to do,
entirely with anybody's sort of immediate political agenda, but this has been around for 50 years, and the need for computing capacity isn't getting smaller, it's getting bigger. So we have a pretty high confidence level that the feds are going to take care of us.
Okay. Mr. Chairman,
yeah, go ahead.
Eli, I'd chime in one thing on that, and that is Bob Aylward gave me a tour of his facilities. Bob's the IT man, the vice president for IT over at the university, and you've met him. Bob gave me an in-depth tour of his facility and talked to me quite a bit about this linkage through fiber optic that we have going down 80 and down to Boulder and all of that, and start talking about how much capacity the university had on that system and what it's being used for. And there are